newspaper man, and he gets his best ideas from a newspaper stand. From his boots to his pants to his comments and his rants, he knows that any little article will do. Though he expresses some confusion about his part in the plan, and he can't understand that he's not in command. The decision's underwritten by the cash in his hand. Bought a sweater for his wife or rather too. Now I'm no madman, but that's insanity. It's before feminine.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by Hearst Ranch. www.hearstranch.com.
Welcome to the Heritage Radio Network.
I am here with friend of Heritage Radio, John Oren, president and founder of Wheelhouse Pickles, whose offices are in Prospect Heights. John, why don't you say hi to our listeners?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me here.
Our pleasure. So we're going to talk to John about pickling. We're going to do basically a how-to on pickling. And after this show, you should be able to execute the three different kinds of pickling, which are lacto-fermented, acidified, and oil pickles. And so, John, why don't you tell us a little history about yourself and your company, and tell us why Wheelhouse Pickles are a step above the rest.
Thanks. Well, I'm a long-time food industry guy. Spent a number of years cooking in restaurants, and for a variety of reasons, just needed to get out of the hectic lifestyle of a line cook.
I understand.
Just the hours and the stress and my back that's made out of Jell-O just couldn't stand standing on my feet for 90 hours a week. So I've always looked for ways to stay involved in food without having to work in restaurant kitchens. And so I've done some food writing and catering and personal chefing. And at a certain point, I think I was just looking for something a bit more creative and entrepreneurial. And I've always been a big fan of pickles from a very early age. I loved eating pickles, would experiment making pickles even, you know, at the age of 6 or 7 at home.
Really? So this is your life's calling?
Maybe. I think so.
Because I don't think I've ever met anyone who was pickling at 6 years old.
Well, I should qualify that by saying my mother, I loved eating pickles, and my mother would bring home from the supermarket, you know, your standard jar of Klassen's or Vlasic, and I would devour it in one sitting and then demand that she replace the jar. And I guess to teach me a lesson in moderation or to moderate my sodium intake, she refused and said, well, why don't you take the jar and the leftover brine that's in it and make your own pickles? So, you know, at 7 years old, I was slicing up cucumbers and putting them back in the brine of the jar, and then shoving them in the refrigerator and making my own pickles.
So between these years of experience and sort of self-teaching has brought you to this phase where you're making a pickle that is sort of a step above the rest. What makes Wheelhouse Pickles so much better?
Well, I mean, I think the main reason why I decided to go pro is because at the time, this was probably around 2003, 2004, I had worked for some chefs who were big pickle enthusiasts and would pickle in-house and put their pickles on various dishes across their menus. And I got exposed to more of the creative side of pickling and saw, you know, got to learn that there was more than just putting cucumbers in vinegar or, you know, fermenting them in salt water. And so I started tinkering around with some recipes that during my free time at home and saw what I thought was, you know, an unmet niche in the market for really sort of really carefully conceived, hand-packed, artisanal pickles.
So yeah, what makes an artisanal pickle as opposed to like a mass-produced pickle?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the mass-produced pickles are sort of a race to the bottom mentality where they're just trying to bring down their production costs as much as possible. So the acidified, the vinegar-based pickles that are out there are using, you know, really low-quality vinegars. And there's really not too many fermented pickles out there because that's also fairly expensive to produce. And so it just seems like, I don't know. I mean, pickles have been around in this country for such a long time that people have now accepted those national brands as just what a pickle should taste like.
Sure.
And so there's just I needed to sort of raise some awareness and get some better quality pickles out there.
And you also source all your ingredients locally?
Yeah, I mean, we're based in Brooklyn, so we buy all of our produce from farms in the Hudson Valley and Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It sort of varies from vegetable to vegetable and fruit to fruit that we're using, and from the time of year. We work a lot with the farms that are participating in the green markets here, since our production is also in the city. It just makes sense to partner with these farms that are already coming down here to sell at the markets.
And so, needless to say, you're operating on a much more sustainable level than these big pickle producers, right? I mean,
it's hard to say because I don't know where they're sourcing their ingredients. I mean, they could be just as local. You know, if they're buying in Michigan and their production plants in Michigan, then then that's local and that's sustainable. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
So basically, pickling has been part of the human food system for ages. I mean, pickling was invented basically as a solution to preserving surplus harvests, right?
Yeah.
So it came about as a way of not wasting any food, basically, right?
Yeah, it was an effort to save surplus harvest, and also to get through harsh winters, and ensure that people had enough food to go on until the next harvest season.
So, which brings me to this question that I've never really figured out, and which is, can you gloss over the science of pickling? I mean, what does the acidification do to the product that allows it to not decay?
Well, as I said earlier, all pickles are sort of a product that's in an acidic solution, with the exception of oil pickles, which we'll go over later, and it's sort of some people might not consider them pickles, but that works on a slightly different level. But any acidified pickles, which are your vinegar based pickles, or a lacto fermented pickle like a full sour or sauerkraut or kimchi, those are working on a level where either it's vinegar or it's lactic acid that is producing a high enough acidic content that it kills harmful bacteria that is sort of naturally found in the vegetables or fruit or what have you.
Okay. All right. So basically today we're going to go over the three different kinds of pickling, and we're going to break it up by equipment, ingredients, and execution. And by the end of the show, you guys should be able to do this from home and make a wheelhouse pickle caliber pickle.
Absolutely.
From home. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with equipment.
Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by Hearst Ranch. www.hearstranch.com.
Welcome back. We're talking pickling with pickling enthusiast John Oren. Go visit his website. Go buy his pickles. www.wheelhousepickles.com. And we're getting into the equipment that you need to execute these three different kinds of pickling. This lacto-fermented, acidified, and oil pickles. Talk to us a little bit about what we need to buy to start this process.
Sure. Let's start with the acidified pickles. It's a pickle that's in a vinegar-based brine. And I'll separate that out into, if you want to do the easiest form of pickling, is just called quick pickling or refrigerator pickles. And that requires very, very few pieces of equipment. Probably you've got most of it in your kitchen now. You just need a large non-reactive pot, soup pot, stock pot.
What's non-reactive mean?
Non-reactive would be stainless steel or like anodized aluminum or the enamel cast iron pots.
Okay.
Just don't use untreated aluminum or copper, because those will react with the acid in the vinegar and leach out metals and give your pickles a sort of pretty awful metallic taste.
Okay.
You will need, well, for refrigerator pickles, we're basically all we're doing is making a brine, heating it up, and then pouring it over whatever it is we're pickling. And then you can just put them in the refrigerator, and depending on what it is, requires just a few hours to a couple of days to be ready to eat. So you can use mason jars, or you could just put them in a plastic container. Anything works as long as it's got a lid, something to close it up with. And so that, you know, on the simplest level, that is basically all that you need to make a quick pickle.
So brine, the product,
yeah,
that you're pickling,
yeah,
and you should heat it before.
Pretty
we'll
much
get into that.
We'll get into that a little bit later. But depending on, you know, if you're using herbs and spices, which most people would in a pickle brine, you need to sort of coax out their flavors. So that's what the heating is for.
Okay. So as far as equipment, no matter what kind of pickling you're doing, all you really need is an airtight jar,
right?
A stainless steel pot,
mm-hmm,
and your brine.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Now, if you want to can your pickles, which is putting them in mason jars and then processing them in a water bath, so that they are sealed and shelf stable, you need a fair amount of other equipment. And so that starts with a canning pot, which is just like a stock pot, but generally, unlike, you know, it'll just be sort of flimsy aluminum, so it's easy to lift, even if it's full of water. And those also come with sort of a wire rack insert that helps keep the jars stable while they're in the boiling water bath. You can also get by without a canning pot if you just have a large stock pot and put like a circular wire rack in the bottom. Basically, all that's doing is when you lower the jars into the boiling water, you want to keep the glass bottom of the jar from touching the bottom of the pot, because that'll, you know, the heat's a little bit too intense and it'll cause it to crack.
Okay.
So if you don't want to have this specialized canning pot, you can use a big stock pot with a wire rack insert, a wire sort of just a circular wire rack to put in the bottom. But if you're going to be canning a lot, pickling a lot, it's a canning pot is a worthwhile investment. They're only about $30.
Okay.
And you will need some mason jars, canning jars, that you can get at pretty much any hardware store, home supply store, kitchen supply store. And you want to look for a sort of a wide mouth jar with rounded shoulders. So like we're drinking coffee right now, mm-hmm, out of mason jars that are straight sided, which are okay for certain types of pickles that are hard to pack into jars. We'll get into later, like green beans or something that, uh-huh, need to stand up straight. But for the most part, you want a mason jar with rounded shoulders, because that, okay, helps keep the product submerged in the brine. You definitely don't want to use, you may be tempted to use sort of leftover mayonnaise jars that you have, but the glass jars are fabricated and designed to only endure processing once. And so if you were to take your old mayonnaise jars or jam jelly jars and try to use those, you run the risk of having them crack or break during the processing. So stay away from that. You can also use the sort of the antique-y style mason jars that have like the wire clasps and the rubber rings on top.
Okay.
Those are great and really pretty. They're a bit more expensive. I've noticed that they're getting a bit cheaper. IKEA seems to sell them at the best price I've seen.
Okay.
And so those work real well too. With the regular mason jars, you also need lids for them. Until a couple of years ago, the ones that were most widely available were like a two-piece lid, where you have the lid and then a band that would screw around the lid. So the lid has ridged edges, and it's lined with a rubber gasket, and that's what sort of it softens when you put it in the boiling water bath, and then that forms the seal around the mouth of the jar. Similar with the jars, you want to only use new lids. Even if you've been, making pickles yourself and you have a stack of lids and bands, once you use them once and you crack open the jar, like that, the trauma of opening the jar with a knife or whatever it is, you'll get nicks or dents in the lid. So you want to replace the lids every time. You can reuse the bands unless they're totally warped. But also these days, since a lot more people are canning, I've noticed that there are a lot of one-piece lids that have, are the lid and the band are one, mm-hmm. are one thing. And that makes it a little bit easier.
Okay. All right. So any other kind of equipment?
If you're going to want to get a canning funnel, and it's sort of a wide mouth funnel that fits over the top of the mason jar. And like the stock pot for the brine, you want to make sure that it's non-reactive. So that means either the heavy duty plastic or stainless steel. And some of them come with like a little removable screen that you can place into the funnel. So when you're pouring the brine, if there's dill or garlic and you don't want that in the jar, it'll sort of filter that out. And then you also need what's called a jar lifter, which is basically tongs that are specifically designed for lifting mason jars. They're sort of rubberized that fit snugly around the mouth of the jar. And that's for lifting... placing the jar in the bath and removing it from the bath. So you don't be tempted at all to just say, oh, I'll use my regular kitchen tongs for it, because the jars get slippery and they're extremely hot, and you really want to make sure you get a jar lifter. The jar lifter sometimes comes included with the canning pot. They'll call it like a canning kit.
Okay.
So it'll have the jar lifter and the funnel, the canning pot with the wire rack insert. And so, that makes it convenient to have all of those in the same thing.
So pretty much all your equipment you can get for around $50 at the most, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it for canning acidified pickles. If you want to do the lacto fermented pickles, it's a short list of, equipment. You just need, a container, a food-safe, non-reactive container that you can use to ferment the pickles in. So it can be a pickle crock, like an earthenware pickle crock, that are a little bit hard to find these days, but you can get them at stoop sales, garage sales, there's one company that's been selling them. I think they're called Burley Clay Products, and there's couple of websites that sell them, although they're pretty expensive to ship. For any listeners in the New York area, there's a great kitchen supply store called Brooklyn Kitchen that carries these in a variety of sizes. So those are the best for making fermented pickles, and they're pretty, and you can store things in them when you're not using them. You could just as easily use a plastic bucket or just a clear plastic container. The one drawback of doing that is that the plastic will absorb a lot of the odors, and fermented pickles, if you ever had them, are really pungent and garlicky and dill. And so you will, you will want to dedicate that vessel to fermenting after you've fermented in it once.
Okay. So what's the difference between the lacto-fermented and the acidified?
Acidified pickles, the acid content is there from the start in the vinegar. All vinegars that you get commercially, whether it's white distilled vinegar, white wine vinegar, sherry vinegar, cider vinegar, they all have at least a 4% acetic acid in them. And so that is the preserving agent. Lacto-fermented pickles start with no vinegar in them. You're just sort of submerging an ingredient, say cucumbers, in a saltwater solution, anywhere from like 3.5% to 8 to 10% salt solution, along with flavoring agents like herbs and spices and garlic and that kind of thing. And you let that sit at room temperature for a period of time, depending on the temperature where you are and the amount of salt in there. And what happens is that natural bacteria that are in the cucumbers start consuming the soluble sugars that are in the cucumbers or whatever, and start creating lactic acid. And the lactic acid is sort of has a similar acidic content as your white vinegar or your white wine vinegar, and so that acts as the preservative. And so as long as what you're fermenting is submerged in this saltwater solution, as it ferments, it gets more acidic, and that helps preserve it.
Okay. And how do the taste profiles vary between a lacto-fermented and an acidic? I mean, I'm sure people taste both, but don't really know which is which.
Right. Well, people who are in New York will probably have tasted a lacto-fermented pickle if they've ever been to a deli. You know, you get your full sour or half sour pickle. Mm-hmm. And the lactic acid can't be duplicated with any other vinegars. I mean, it's entirely unique, and it's briny, and, you know, kind of tastes like the ocean. And so it's entirely unique, and it's one of the reasons that I, you know, absolutely love lacto-fermented pickles. You're sort of just tasting nature. Uh-huh. And so there's really no way to duplicate that other than with time. And acidified pickles, you are basically in control almost entirely of developing the flavor profile. Different vinegars have different characteristics, and then you can tweak those with the addition of herbs and spices, or, you know, citrus or other fruit juices. I'm trying to think what, you know, in our pickled beets that we make, the main acid component is sherry vinegar with some orange juice, and then we juice watercress and incorporate that into the brine along with the beet greens, so as to not let that go to waste. And then there's a little bit of garlic and fennel and tarragon in there.
Huh.
And so it creates a really kind of robust flavor profile.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, you're in control with acidified pickles, whereas with the fermented pickles, you're just trying to sort of harness nature and get this sort of haunting natural, you know, oceany brine
flavoring.
Yeah.
Interesting. So your standard like Clausen or Vlasic pickle, what kind of pickle is that?
Those are fermented. Most of them. Yeah. It's been so long since I've eaten them. But they may also have acidified pickle, lines products.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and come back into ingredients.
Yeah. Great. Can't wait. Thank you.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by Hearst Ranch. www.hearstranch.com.
Welcome back, HRN, John Oren, Pickle Master, WheelhousePickles.com. We've talked about the equipment part of the process, John. What kind of ingredients do we want to use? What do we need? What are the basics? And if we want to get fancy, what are some other ingredients we can add to the mix?
Sure. Well, we're starting off with the item that you're pickling. That's the most important. Fresh produce. Fresh being the operative word. It's really, you know, pickles are a delicate combination of all these different ingredients. And the best pickles are ones where the sort of true nature and flavor of the pickled item is remains even after it's not masked by the vinegar or by the salt water solution. So you want to make sure that you're using produce that sort of at its peak of freshness, at its, you know, ideal season.
Because that's going to sort of,
well, you'll get the
pickle
best,
process.
You'll get the best tasting, you know, cucumbers, green beans, okra, they taste best when they're locally available at their peak season.
And like, will they sort of not only maintain that flavor, but will that quality, does it sort of get preserved in a sense? Like, do you want to get them at their peak because then that affects the taste ultimately?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it kind of depends on the brine that you're putting them in, but because it's always possible to mask the flavor of your product with a really assertive brine. Uh-huh. And in fact, sometimes, you know, inferior produce is pickled specifically because it doesn't taste all that great fresh, so you might as well mask it with something.
Right.
But the best pickles, the best pickles will be when you're taking an ingredient at its peak of freshness and pickling it so that you're enhancing its flavor, not masking it.
Okay.
So that you still know that you're eating a cucumber, or you still know that you're eating a beet.
Okay.
So that should remain. So you want to get fresh produce either at your local farmer's market, or if you belong to a CSA, you know, that stuff is going to be prime pickle
material.
Pickle material. you can use, you know, generic, you know, local supermarket produce. But it's really not ideally suited. I mean, it's just, you know, it's traveled so far to get to you. And a lot of these produce companies will take certain measures to make sure that the product holds up in transit. So either things are either picked when they're hard and can endure the travel, so they're not very tasty, or in items like cucumbers, for example, if they're coming from far away, they're often coated in edible wax, which makes them...
Sounds gross.
they'll certainly last longer, but then it actually makes it more difficult to pickle them because the brine has a hard time getting absorbed into the cucumber.
So
fresh produce is ideal. If we're talking about acidified pickles, then we're talking about vinegar. And there's a lot of different types of vinegar out there. The most common and the cheapest is distilled white vinegar, which is what, as we were talking about earlier, the national pickle brands, they often use distilled white vinegar. I don't use it at all in my products. I find it just to be unsuitable for for food preparation.
Okay.
You certainly can use it. I have a rule. I don't like to use products that I also clean my bathroom with. and it's just really astringent and harsh. But you can use it, and there's certainly, you know, if you grew up on the national brands, that flavor, that harshness is going to be familiar to you, and there's something to be said for taste memory, sense memory, you know, like a torched hot dog on a barbecue, you know, objectively tastes bad. But if you grew up with that, like that charred taste,
sure,
brings you back to childhood.
Experience.
So if you had your distilled white vinegar pickles growing up, then maybe that flavor is not objectionable to you. But I don't use it. I don't like it. Instead, I use vinegars like cider vinegar, apple cider vinegar, the wine vinegars are much mellower than distilled white vinegar. You know, white wine, red wine. We even use some champagne vinegar in some of our pickles. Sherry vinegar, as I mentioned before, we use in our beets. That's a bit more acidic. It's about a 7% acid content, whereas the others are about 5%. And then the mildest vinegar that's sort of frequently available is rice wine vinegar.
Okay.
It's about 4%. So a lot of people are using that these days for sort of like a mellow sweetness. It really helps like the flavor of the product that you're pickling come through. One thing you do want to avoid is probably don't want to use homemade vinegars.
Okay.
Because you don't know exactly what the acid content is.
Right.
Because a lot of, you know, pickle recipes are formulated so that even after you dilute vinegar and water, you still have a minimum about of a 2.5% acid content. So it's usually like a 1-to-1 vinegar to water ratio. And if you're using homemade vinegars, you don't know the acid content. You could be lowering that acid content below 2.5% and then you risk spoilage.
Okay.
So stay away from homemade vinegars. Yeah.
And the water is, does it have to be some sort of special kind of water?
There are distinctions in water.
Yeah. Like, does it have to be reverse osmosis or what's the
nothing too special? I mean, if you're doing acidified pickles, tap water is fine because when you're heating the brine in the stock pot, the chlorine that's in it will be evaporated. If you're doing lacto fermented pickles where there's no heat at all, there's no cooking, the chlorine can inhibit the growth of the bacteria.
Okay.
So you either want to take tap water and let it sit long enough that the chlorine evaporates, or you can heat it and then cool it back down. It's kind of a waste of energy. You can heat it. You can also sort of dissolve calcium in it, but that will that will inhibit it's sort of lower the acidity in the finished product. There's also like minute distinctions between hard water and soft water from your tap, and that only comes into play if you're doing fermented pickles. That the hard water actually helps because there's trace calcium in hard water, which actually helps keep the pickles crisp. So here in New York, we have soft water. It would be actually better if we had hard water.
Okay, so that's why our pizza is good.
It's why the pizza is good, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it strengthens the gluten in there.
So you guys have like a variety of different pickled products and a variety of different recipes. Mm-hmm. Besides standard cucumbers, what are some of the other things that a person can pickle from home?
You can pickle almost anything. At Wheelhouse Pickles, we do cucumbers, beets, okra, green beans, chili peppers, pears, turnips from time to time. We do a few,
Is it determined seasonally?
It is, yeah. We have relationships with a whole bunch of farms that grow specific ones that are, you know, top quality for each one. And we buy it at different times of the year. We do a fall root vegetable relish that we call the Plowman's Pickle, and it's sort of basically every root vegetable that's out there in the farmers markets in the fall. We get turnips and carrots and parsnip and leeks and onions, and then it's sort of got a sweet and spicy characteristic with a bunch of other spices, and then we use some unfermented beer from a local brewery, Six Point Craft Ale, which gives it a really sort of robust malty flavor.
Okay.
So the sky's the limit on the types of
You can use a lot of different seasoning and herbs in your pickling too.
Yeah.
What are some of the ingredients you recommend?
There's a bunch of spices that are commonly used in pickles. And in fact, you can buy, when you go to the supermarket and see the jars of spices, there's often pickle spice.
Oh, okay.
Which is a combination of, usually it's like mustard and coriander, and dill and black pepper and a few other things, and that can actually be a money saver if you don't want to buy a dedicated jar of each of those ingredients. You can save a bit of money with the pickle spice. We make our own just because I don't want to use someone else's percentage. And with spices, you'd usually want to toast them before you use them, sort of coax out, bring out some of their natural oils.
Okay, how would one do that?
If you just have a saute pan, you can just lay the spices out and put them over sort of medium-low heat and toast them, depending on what it is, just a few minutes until it starts to become fragrant. You definitely don't want to hear cracking and popping.
Okay.
That means that they're burning. Okay. So then you just take them out of the pan and put them in a bowl, let them cool down for a second, and then they're ready to go. And then, plenty of fresh herbs. Dill, obviously, is a common spice. We use mint and tarragon. A lot of people use rosemary. There's really, just about anything that you can find in the store is going to help your pickles.
Okay, and any of these spices and herbs, their flavors in the process are going to get sort of, it's like marinating the product almost, right?
Yeah. You're simmering the brine before you're pouring it over the product. So that's, coaxing out the flavors, incorporating them into the brine, and then you're pouring the brine over the cucumbers, let's say. And then over the process of pickling, it's going to absorb that brine, which is now infused with all of those flavors.
Okay. All right. So we got our ingredients. We've got our equipment. And now...
Oh, we do need to talk about salt. Salt.
Yeah.
Because salt is critical, particularly with the lacto-fermented pickles. You want to avoid using table salt. You could use it in a pinch, so to speak. But it is iodized, and the iodine in the salt will sort of lead to a cloudy brine and will sort of darken the pickled product that you're making. So pickles are often about aesthetic just as much as taste, because you're proud of your jars lining your shelves.
Sure.
So you want to avoid having a cloudy brine. So go with either kosher salt or what's called pickling or canning salt. It's a very fine grain of salt that will dissolve in water that's not heated. And one note of caution when you're reading a recipe, you should use the form of salt that's called for in the recipe.
Okay.
Because salt grains, pickling and canning salt is a very fine grain. Kosher salt is a big grain. And so if it calls for... 3 tablespoons of salt. Three tablespoons.
The weight will be different.
The quantity with the volume is different. If you're using kosher salt versus canning salt, so use what is called for in the recipe.
Okay. Anything else with respect to ingredients?
That's basically it. I mean, you there's all types of sweeteners that you can use. Pickles are usually a dance and a balance between sweet and sour and spicy and savory. So you can just sugar, common granulated sugar is the most frequent sweetener used, but you could also do honey. We use honey a lot. You could even caramelize the honey ahead of time, sort of make burnt honey, which gives it a really nutty flavor. There's all sorts of things that you can do to add sweeteners. Brown sugar, molasses. Brown sugar and molasses will really darken the brine. But if you're doing something like beets, that's not a problem, or fruit juices will often, lend sweetness. So the sky is the limit with that stuff.
Okay, cool. So now when we come back, we're going to talk about execution, and you're just going to tell us step by step how to execute the 3 different kinds of pickling.
Yep.
So stay tuned.
Sky low, and I was far out in the ocean. tropical hideout. If anyone finds out, we'll turn the lights out.
Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by Hearst Ranch. www.hearstranch.com.
Welcome back to the Heritage How-To's. How to make a good pickle with John Oren, founder of Wheelhouse Pickles, wheelhousepickles.com. So John, we've talked about the equipment, we've talked about the ingredients. Why don't you just tell us basically, as simply as possible for the layman, for the beginning pickler, how to execute lacto-fermented pickles.
Sure. Well, lacto-fermented pickles, so you want to, as we mentioned before, have your non-reactive container, whether it's a pickle crock or a plastic bucket, get your, let's say we're doing cucumbers, we're doing a full sour cucumber. You really want to scrub the cucumbers so they're, you know, squeaky clean. Because any residual dirt that's on them could spoil the batch. Also, if you're, you know, ideally you're getting these cucumbers at their peak of freshness, so they may actually still have the remnants of their flower on that. And you want to cut that end off because there are enzymes in there that will soften and or spoil the pickles as they're fermenting. So make sure that they're free of the flower on the end. And you want to gather all of your other ingredients. Let's say for a full sour, you'd want coriander and mustard seed and black peppercorn and some garlic and dill to gather all of those together. And so then in your bucket, you take the washed cucumbers and you put a thin layer of cucumbers on the bottom. And then sprinkle them with all of the other ingredients, the spices, the garlic, the herbs.
Just like a pinch.
Yeah. Okay. And so you're making layers. Since it's all being fermented in one batch, you want to make sure that the top doesn't taste like garlic and the bottom tastes like mustard. And, you know, you want to make sure that there's uniformity in the flavors. So we're making layers.
Okay.
And so you want to, you know, do that as many layers.
Like, is this slice layers or?
No. We're just talking about in the bucket.
Okay.
The cucumbers are still whole.
Okay.
And you're just putting, you know, a handful or two of cucumbers in the bottom of the bucket and then sprinkling over the coriander, the mustard seed, et cetera.
Okay.
The minced garlic, the dill, whatever else you're using. And then you do another layer of cucumbers, followed by another layer of spices and herbs.
Okay.
And you just continue alternating until the bucket or the crock is about 3/4 full.
Okay.
And then at that point, you need to make your salt water solution. If you're using pickling or canning salt, you can just mix salt into cold water. and that'll dissolve immediately. But if you're using kosher salt, you need to heat up water a little bit. And so you want to make a salt solution. Let's say we're doing full sours. You want about a 5% salt solution. So most people are probably doing this by volume. So you want to have about 3 tablespoons of kosher salt for each quart of water.
Okay.
So the listeners at home can do the math and expand that out to however much water they think they'll need to fill whatever container they're using. And so you can, if you're using kosher salt, you can start with 1 quart of hot water and then dissolve the salt in that and then do the next one with just cold water. That way, you know, you don't want to be pouring hot water over these, because this is there's no heat involved, no cooking involved
in the
lacto-fermented pickles.
Okay.
So once you have your salt solution and enough water to cover the pickles, just pour it right over all the cucumbers until the level of the salt water is about, 2 or 3 inches above the top layer of cucumbers. And then you need a weight of some kind to place on top of the layer of cucumbers. So that can be
fully submerged.
Yeah, exactly. So that can be, a couple of plates. If you're using a pickle crock, they often come with a lid that's just sort of slightly smaller in diameter than the crock itself, so it slides down. And those are ideal if you have one of those. Or you could use just a large, Ziploc bag and fill it with, you want to fill it with excess brine, not just water, because if it leaked into the brine, mm-hmm. then it would dilute mm-hmm. the brine. So fill it with residual salt water and then just place that over on top of the top layer of cucumbers. So it's weighing everything down. It's keeping all of the cucumbers submerged in the water because you want to create an anaerobic situation.
Okay.
So keep them away from air, and that's going to reduce the likelihood of spoilage. And then you want to find sort of the coolest, darkest area that you've got, the ideal temperatures for fermenting. Full sour pickles is anywhere from 60 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit. So find, do your best to get in that zone.
Okay.
And then you're just leaving them. Just you let them sit. And after the first day, you may not notice any change. You come check it, and there may be a little bit of bubbling, a little bit of foam around the edge of the container, or you might not see anything yet. But definitely after the second day, you will start to see some bubbling and foam, and you want to every day come back to it and with a very clean spoon. Sterilized spoon, in fact, you want to skim off that foam.
Okay.
And depending on the temperature that you've got in your kitchen or wherever you're placing these, in about 5 to 7 days, the pickles will be acidic enough to be considered a full sour. A lot of the delis here in New York and the legendary guys on the Lower East Side will ferment theirs for much longer, until they're just so sour and pucker inducing that it's just like almost inedible.
Uh-huh.
But some people enjoy that. So basically you're just waiting for the fermentation to finish when there's no more foam that's
okay.
appearing on the
then
edge.
Just stopped reacting.
So anywhere from 5 to 10 days. And when that happens, when all that foam has subsided and you no longer have to skim foam off, then you can take the crock itself, put it right in the fridge, or transfer them to plastic containers or mason jars.
With water in them?
No, just no. You're using the brine. You're okay. using the brine that's in there. It'll be noticeably cloudy.
Okay.
Because it's the lactic acid that's been produced. So you're taking, spoon out the cucumbers and put them in a mason jar, put them in a plastic container, and then scoop out the brine and pour that over the pickles.
So, and the longer I keep them in this jar, say in the fridge,
The more sour they'll get. Although once they're in the refrigerator, that markedly slows down the fermentation process.
Okay.
But they will continue to age and become more sour over time.
Okay.
And so depending on your taste, they'll either be, you know, perfect for your taste right then, or you'll want to continue to let them age. You know, these places on the Lower East Side claim that theirs are, you know, 6 months, age 6 months before they're sold.
Uh-huh.
Ours, you know, I sort of have timid tastes when it comes to full sours. So ours will only be about 3 or 4 weeks before we sell them.
And what are some of the places that we can find these pickles in New York?
Let's see, in the Williamsburg area, the Bedford Cheese Shop carries them. In Park Slope, there is Blue Apron and Grab Specialty Foods carries them. Stinky in Carroll Gardens.
That's two blocks from my house.
All right.
Yep.
Let's see. We're usually at the Green Market in Union Square on Mondays, although because of some staffing issues, we haven't been there. But we hope to get back there real soon.
And otherwise, someone can just order them online, right?
Yeah, they're all available with the exception of the full sours. We will ship those to limited locations, you know, anywhere from the New York metro area up through New England or far south as D.C. But because of their perishability, we just can't ship them further because they don't ship well. And then we don't ship them in the summertime.
Okay.
So they're available from about October through April.
Gotcha. So we've covered the lacto-fermented pickles.
Yeah.
Right? Talk to us about acidified. There's a heating process there.
There is.
That there isn't in the lacto-fermented, right?
Right. Acidified pickles, so let's say we're just doing a quick refrigerator pickle that you don't want to bother canning and heat processing these. You just want, you know, pickles to store in your refrigerator. You will create your brine. So if you're probably using a recipe that calls for a combination of vinegar and water and spices and salt and sugar. So you combine all those ingredients in your non-reactive pot and heat that to a simmer. And what you're doing is you're dissolving the sugar and salt, and then you're also infusing them with the flavors of the spices and the herbs and whatever else. You know, so you're marrying all of the flavors. And so that only needs to simmer for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then whatever your pickling item is, let's say they're cucumbers, we're doing sliced cucumbers. Pack those in, if you can do them in a mason jar, you could do them in a plastic container, just anything non-reactive. And so you pack them into that container. And then once your brine has simmered for, you know, 5 to 10 minutes so that all the flavors are infused, you simply just pour it over the sliced cucumbers.
In the jar,
in the container until they're submerged.
But, I mean, if we use a plastic container and then we add a hot liquid, is that going to warp it?
I mean, if you don't use, you know, your Chinese takeout, you know, plastic container.
Okay.
Because that will melt in the heat. But most Tupperware is designed to, you know, withstand heat.
Okay.
So then you want to let it cool to room temperature, cover it, and then throw it in the fridge. And then depending on what it is that you've pickled, so we're doing sliced cucumbers there, so there's a lot of surface area, they're thin, you've got, you know, a pretty acidic solution. Those will be ready to eat in, you know, 24 to 36 hours.
Okay.
And they will get a bit more saturated after that. But if you're doing whole cucumbers, or say you're doing something dense like beets or another root vegetable, carrots, say, those will take a lot longer to absorb the brine.
And now, do I have to then heat the jar in boiling water once they've been jarred or anything?
No. Like that? So, well, this is, we're doing acidified pickles, but the variation of it is quick refrigerator pickles. So we're storing them in the refrigerator in lieu of heat processing them.
Okay.
So these you always keep in the fridge, and then if you want pickles, you just take them out and you know eat them as desired and throw them back in the fridge.
Which that again slows down the.
Well, there's no fermenting that's going on with acidified pickles.
Okay.
And so the
foam on the top.
No, none of that.
Okay.
The pro side of doing a quick refrigerated pickle is that it's easy and quick.
Uh-huh.
The only downside is that those jars, you know, take up space in your refrigerator.
Right.
Whereas if let's say we're doing acidified pickles, but we're canning them, we're processing them in a water bath. Then we are sterilizing them and we're vacuum sealing them in the jar. The water bath will do that so that they become shelf stable. And then you keep them on your shelf. You're not taking up valuable real estate in your fridge. So that process is a bit more involved.
Okay.
So then we got two pots on the stove. We have the pot for the brine and the canning pot. And so you fill the canning pot about 3/4 full of water and then jam on the heat. It'll take a while for that, you know, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes to get to a rolling boil. So you got plenty of time once that's working to make your brine. Same thing, you're mixing your vinegar and water and sugar and salt and spices. And then while that's simmering and while the canning pot is getting to a boil, then you pack your jars. So you have your clean, sterilized mason jars that you can sterilize in a dishwasher. Or if you don't have a dishwasher, once the canning pot comes to a boil, you can just plunge the empty jars into the boiling water for about 5 minutes, and that will sterilize them.
Okay.
So you get your sterilized jars, and then you start packing them with your ingredients. So let's again say we're doing sliced cucumbers. If you're really keen on the aesthetics and the look of it, you might want to put a few spices on the bottom of the jar. There's sort of a long tradition in pickles of having enough of the spices in the bottom of the jar, so that just looking at it, you know what's in there. Because sometimes the spices are strained out of the brine before it's poured over, so you wouldn't necessarily know what's in there. But most pickles will have, you know, a sprig of dill and a few coriander seeds and peppercorns and a chili pepper down in the bottom, so you know exactly what's in the brine and you know what to expect before you eat them.
Right.
So you put whatever spices on the bottom you want in there to make it look pretty, and then pack in your cucumber slices, and you want to make sure to go only up to what's called the fill line at the top of the jar.
You can find it'll say it on the jar, right?
It doesn't. Sometimes it will, other times it doesn't. But it's like, you know, if your jar has rounded shoulders, it's like right after. The glass starts to curve, there's a lip. And at that point, that's the fill line. And you don't want the solid, whatever it is you're pickling, to go above that line. So only pack the cucumbers in up to that line.
Okay.
So then you wait, and once your canning pot is at a rolling boil, and you've simmered your brine, and you want the brine to be nice and hot, you know, boil, get the brine to a boil. And then you use your funnel to pour the brine into the jar up to that fill line so that everything is submerged in the brine. But you want to leave about 1/4 inch of head space.
Mm-hmm.
So the brine stops and there's still 1/4 inch between that and the top of the jar.
Okay.
And then screw on the lid pretty snugly, but you don't need to sort of strain
yourself.
Yeah. Pretty snugly. And then once you have them all filled, then you just use your jar lifter and drop them gently into the canning pot, if you have the wire rack insert, Okay. You'll see the spaces for the
dark. And you just slide
them
in, sort of.
Just, yeah, lower them gently in.
Okay.
And make sure that the level of the water in the pot is at least 2 inches above the top of the jars.
Okay. And then I boil those for how long?
Well, it depends on the recipe and depends, you know, what you're pickling. Most books will say anywhere from like 10 to 15 minutes.
And then I would put them in the freezer or the fridge.
Well, then you carefully remove them from the pot, also using the jar lifter.
Uh-huh.
And then place them, if you have like a wire cooling rack, you know, for cooling cookies, use that. You can use that and place the jars on that, or alternatively just on a clean towel.
Okay.
And then you let them sit undisturbed. And as they cool down, they will form their seal. So the lid, which is like convex, it's pointing, it's like arched upwards after it comes out of the brine. As it cools, the excess air will get pushed out of the jar, and then the form will seal.
And the little button will be pressed down.
If your jar has a button, some of the lids don't have buttons, but then it'll become convex.
Right.
Or concave, sorry.
Right.
And often the sound that you want to look for or listen for is just a ping sound when it finally makes that seal. It'll go ping. But don't be afraid if you don't hear the ping, because sometimes it'll just sort the seal of, will form more slowly and it doesn't make an audible noise. But you let them sit for like a full 12 to even 24 hours, and then come back and you do a little test, a visual test. To make sure that they've sealed, which you want the lid to be concave, and when you press down gently with your finger, it doesn't bounce back up.
Right,
it stays down, and then you know that you've got a good seal.
Okay,
and then those are ready to be put on the shelf.
So no refrigeration.
No refrigeration for those.
And again, the longer they sit, the more sour they'll become.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I mean, the recipe will often say, you know, let these jars sit for X number of days before enjoying.
So then there's oil-based pickling.
Right.
Tell me briefly about that.
Well, some people would say that oil pickles are not pickles, in fact, because there is no acid.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no chemical process that's going on. Basically, what you're doing is you're just taking an ingredient and submerging it in oil to remove oxygen from the equation. And so oil-based pickles predominate in areas that were either rich in oil. So Italy and Spain have rich traditions of oil-based pickles, as do tropical regions that before refrigeration, they didn't have the means to ferment or pickle things at cool temperatures. So India, Latin America, they have a lot of those cultures have rich oil-based pickle traditions. So most oils are fairly neutral in flavor. So a lot of oil-based pickles involve gently heating the oil first and infusing them with a lot of the same spices and herbs that we're talking about with the brine, building the brine as well.
Infusing the oil while it heats, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Because they're, you know, the oil itself, unless, you know, other than apart from Italy and Spain, where they have just incredibly flavorful olive oils, most oil doesn't contribute much flavor to a pickle. So they're often warmed gently first with spices, and then cool to room temperature, and then you take whatever it is. You know, if you're making an Indian mango pickle, you would slice up the mango and then submerge it in the oil. And oil pickles will take a lot longer to mature because the absorption process is a lot slower. And sometimes the item that's pickled is also sort of bathed in vinegar a little bit ahead of time. And then drained and then submerged into the oil to add some acidity, which is lacking in the oil. So anything, you know, in Italy, there's a rich tradition of pickling mushrooms and artichokes, garlic. And then in in India, it's mango, chili peppers. Those are all things that are commonly pickled in oil.
Does Wheelhouse do any of these like sort of exotic varieties?
Not the oil-based pickles, just because I can't get oil at a reasonable price, at least, you know, good quality oil. Uh-huh. And it's really not, you know, maybe if we were in California and we were in close proximity to the great oils in Napa Valley, you know, then we might consider it, but it's just not, not part of the tradition here. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the future of pickling? I mean, what are some of the more avant-garde techniques that some chefs are using?
Well, a lot of the chefs who are sort of proponents or followers or acolytes of the molecular gastronomy genre are using a lot of the sous vide techniques to do what's, I guess they're calling flash pickles, where you're taking an ingredient and putting it in either a vacuum pouch or a vacuum container, submerging it in a brine, and then turning on that vacuum, and so it sucks the air out of the cucumber, let's say, and then when you turn off the vacuum, the space that air has left in the cucumber, all that brine just rushes right in to take the place of it. So you get like a super intense pickle that has the almost the same crunch and texture of a fresh cucumber. So there's some people doing like cocktail garnishes where we'll make a cucumber that is basically infused with, you know, a gin martini. They'll make a brine that's basically just gin and vermouth and a simple syrup. So it's, you know, you put that in your martini and it's like a double martini.
A martini.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, pretty much any listener should be able to make these pickles that you just described from home.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I want to tell the listeners that I'm sure you'll be making several other appearances on pickle-related HRN programming.
I'd love to.
Again, you can find John's Pickles at wheelhousepickles.com. Try your own. Send us any comments at info@heritageradionetwork.com. Let us know how these recipes worked for you. Thanks for joining us.